I took sled and some sleds my dad made for me with the handlebars and really good.
How many dogs did you have in that dog team?
Five. That's all I can handle. I can't handle any more than five. I'm too light and I'm not strong enough to take care of a big bunch of dogs. My brother was wanted to come with me a lot of time, but he's kind of a little small. And he's kind of helpless, too young yet. I'm older, so I can talk to him all right. And the travelers help me along all the time. I get along real fine. And I travel with a bunch of people that travels, you know. And sometimes we take our tent with us far as battles. There was no road them days. We have to go all the way by the river and make our own trail on by the river up to battles. And then from there, there's a horse trail and a dog trail. Real good going. And they have root houses and 50 cents for each dog to camp in a root house. So I have to pay $2.50 for my dogs to sleep in a dog barn, close to a horse barn. They also have horse barns and dog barns. When not so many horses, we get along fine with our dogs. Of course, we tie some of our dogs outdoors sometimes. But in them dog houses, our dogs got pretty good rest. So they can do a lot of good work for us when we take good care of them. They seem as a horses. Horses same way. If you take good care of horse, he do lots of good work for you. Same way with dogs.
What were you hauling on your sled when you went from Alatna up to Wiseman?
I got a load mostly whitefish frozen, caught in the fall. Now they're catching them now pretty quick. When the river froze over and the fish come down, then they catch them over the ice, pull them up with a funnel net, tip net that is, and freeze them on top of ice. So that way they catch larger whitefish. So I load up with that kind of fish, or maybe 400 or 500 pounds, something like that. I haul them. Then another year, I get more dogs. Then I haul about 700 or 800 pounds. Then I get more dogs. I sell what I can take to mining camp. No trouble to sell them. The fish, 15 cents a pound. Whitefish. And berries, about $2 a gallon, something like that. I get for them up on the creeks, Hammond River and Nolan Creek. Sometimes I get for mucklucks for sale for my mother. Sometimes I sell them for fur, mucklucks. And sometimes mittens, some mittens for sale. No trouble to sell them things. Everybody like to have them, but nobody don't sell much in a mining camp like that. They don't use them much anyway, only when they go to town or something like that to keep warm when they travel down to town. Otherwise, they don't need them. They work underground all the time. And those grand berries, about $2 a gallon, something like that, they paid me in the Hammond River. They're crazy for them.
Is this the first time that you started seeing caribou also, when you went to Wiseman?
No, later than that, 1921. I was 26 years old then, eh? Then some caribou come. You see? Sometime we hunt, my dad, he took us to Yukon Hills. By the way, battles. We hunt caribou way up there. No trails. Make their own trail. Sometimes we find the prospector trail. But they're pretty narrow. They got Yukon sleds. And our sled doesn't fit on those turned on them trail. pretty tough going. Still, we get some caribou. My dad killed caribou way up there on a head of Fish Creek, Mosquito Fork. That's over there on that territory. This side of Yukon, not too far from Stephen Village. We find caribou over there, where the prospectors don't reach much. They don't get up there. Another place, there were caribou way up there, Porcupine, that's too far for us. Head of Chandela River, that's too far for us. The trail is hard, too much snow to travel. With the snowshoes and broke trail, and hardly pay to get one or two caribou. So we had to stay and eat fish at home. It's not easy. It's not easy to live that way. But somehow, that's all we can get, fish. All we can get, so we're satisfied. We're happy enough. Our stomach full with fish and berries. Sometimes not much fat, but we get a little piece of bacon from store or someplace. Piece of bacon from store, lard, flour, beans. And that way we get along fine when we grow a little older. And my dad trapping in the winter, when he do very well. We got all kinds of blubber, seal oil from Kubuk. He got one or two men work for him on Kubuk River. He take care of his stuff. When they come over, they come get it and take it down Kubuk. They take it to Kachaview. Then when Siberian come, they trade it. And then they get stuff for my dad again, for sale, for winter time. That's how we make living. We got no thread at all. And then when I get old enough, I got job on the river as a lineman. I was a little young, all right, but they accept me because I'm ambitious enough, I guess. Maybe I bothered them, I never know.
What boat were you working on as a lineman?
These scouts for Jack White. And Billy Glenn and his Glenn brothers used to haul freight up the Cuyahoga River from steamboat where they unloaded paddles, and they haul them with scows up the creeks, up to Coldfoot, Wiseman, and all those places. Then I want to go to work, look for a job in mining camp. They tell me, go home. The white man tell me, go home, my boy. You got no place up here. You got to be 21 years old to get a job. If you're not 21, we don't want to work you to death. So I understand. I don't go no more look for a job in mining camp. So I got a job for a steamboat, the boat, scow, as a lineman. Then later on, they got these Red Wings to help along boat crossing rivers. Then I become engineer. I become gas engineer. Then I make better living. I got good pay, pretty good pay for a little boy like me. Don't worth much, but I make it. I fool around that way and get in that job running the engine. I got the easy time then. But what was not so easy for me is making coffee. Pretty tough for me to, I don't know how to cook. I open canned stuff, all right. Sometimes we got passengers, then the passengers do the cooking. I don't help much, but I always make coffee because the stove is nearby me. Then I took international correspondence school from Scranton, Pennsylvania, through mill to run gas, to learn to run the gas engine. And then I take my lessons coming slow. I only got answer, my question answered, the questions answered once a month. Too slow for me. So I get disgusted with it, and they get disgusted too, I guess. Too slow. The mail once a month is too slow for correspondence school. So I quit that thing. Anyhow, they show me every part of the engine I'm running right there. That way I become gas engineer. There's my big engine is running right there. I run that engine all day long. And there's my lesson right there. I see it in the picture. That some pieces in there. Then they show me how they work. It's a combustion, you know. That way I make my living. Then later on I got married and raised 6 children in Weisman. My dad is real sick that time. I want to go down to visit him, but no planes them days. Sometimes I take a dog team and run down there. Then when I get to be around pretty close to 21 years, I'm able to get job on a creek, work in a mine. I work underground, 11 years underground. I work there, hardly come out from underground for 11 years, working all time, them years in winter time. Summertime, I work for Alaska Road Commission. Then the scouts quitting gradually. The population get thinner and thinner all the time. There finally hardly any mining people left since till war broke out, this the Second World War. Then we quit everything and go to Army Engineers. I go to Army Engineers since. That's the way I make a living.
Was this in Fairbanks that you went to?
Yeah, Fairbanks. you know, where that Alsen field they call now, that was a lead field. It's no Alsen field. That's lead field during war. I don't know who named it. That Alsen has nothing to do with it. When I was working for Alaska Road Commission, and I got sick, so I went to hospital to have my appendix taken off. Then shortly afterward, I got job for Alaska Road Commission. And while I was working out there, I got a letter from Army Department. They said they already have got my two brothers. He said, I'm left. He said, we need you. Come. So I come. I moved to Fairbanks. My children go to school in Fairbanks. Then wartime. My wife got sick too, real sick. She had tuberculosis. She went outside and can't do much to her. And them days, they don't know how to take care of tuberculosis that time. So I didn't say no at all because I like to get away anyway. So we go to Fairbanks. We can't find a house. The city is full. No place. Of course, I can't refuse government, you know, when they encourage me to do something for them. I don't know what I can do for them. I think some white men, perhaps some of my friends, perhaps, told engineers, army engineers, that I was gas engineer. Maybe that's why they called me in. Sure enough, we have a lot of work to do. We certainly have lots of it. We got enough work to do there. And we do anything to win that war, of course. Everybody have an idea. That's for our benefit. Don't matter if we can do anything. Even if we can wash dishes, that helped to win the war. That's what they told me. He says, whatever we do it right, we might win war. If we don't, we can't win. There's a lot of big people is fighting us now. And so we got to do anything we do, we have to do it right. So we get in. They accept me. I tried, I tell them. Even though my army wages is pretty low, it don't matter to me, long as it's something to do. Because we can't do nothing else. You can't do no trading. You can't go fishing and sell it. You can't go hunt moose. You can't caribou and sell it. You can't get 25 cents out of a piece of meat you catch. Not allow selling. We just have to go hungry or else go out in the woods and get it ourselves. So my children go to school in Fairbanks, and I stay most of the time in garage in an army camp. Try to build that field big enough so Russian planes will come. So the Russian will come. They have the planes almost ready and we haven't got our field ready. So we don't have to sleep much. We keep awake day and night. Even though we were change three shifts. There's a graveyard shift, night shift, day shift, graveyard shift. The reason why they call that graveyard shift is in the army, because so many people die that work on graveyard shift. So we stay with it for years that way. That graveyard shift killing us, all right. But we try to be tough little men to stand it. They says to us, he says, we are fighting tough men. We got to be tough. Whose responsibility? That's us. Me. All right? That's encouraged me. I like somebody to speak to me like that. That's encouraged me, and I enjoy my work. Even though it's tough, I don't care, because I find out what I'm trying to do. They let me know it. We are fighting toughs, so we're going to be tough too. That's how we did it. We don't sleep much. We're not after the money. We don't work for money. We just want to win the war. There's American boys right there. So I try to be American boy too, even though I'm Eskimo from way up north. Don't know much. No education. Get along all right somewhere without education. I pull through now. We were so happy the day they says, flag is up. No more war now. They're so happy. We try to do our part for the war. They appreciate it. Everything. They treat me like their own son in the army. That's a human being, I guess. That's the way it goes, I think. If you're kind to somebody, I think they're kind to you. Whatever we can do, we're going to do it. That's how we taught them things. We never say no. We don't want to be selfish. We want to do our part if we can, while we're alive. We got short life. We got only a few years. What is that? It don't amount to much. So we were not after money, because even if we got money, we can't enjoy money. Friends is only. People good to you. They are money. What that cash will do for me, it won't help me. Our ancestors were rich. They said to me, no rich for you. We pray for you that you're not going to be rich. My grandmother, hey, don't stop my little boy. My little boy, she told. She's coming. And that man prayed, he got scared. He always will have little grub to eat. They get money from the ground. I get in with mining game. I don't get it. I get into rental business, I don't get it. I'm failure. I kind of think that prayer was answered right there. Whoever that is, that man is pray, God must hurt of him, hurt him. Pray for me not to get rich. Sure enough, I don't get rich. But I always have bread for supper. I always can have enough money somehow to buy that loaf of bread. I still live today. 77 years. Tomorrow, I think, September 23, I was born. And I didn't have much experience, but I got experience of my own. I tried lots of little things. I even tried to learn to trap fox. I went to Arctic and I went with the other family from Battles to trap up around Arctic that time when I was younger. But this wartime put us down very bad. My wife died and my daughter died, pneumonia. No doctors to attend to them. Because they would live a little longer maybe if they have doctors to attend to them. My wife didn't want to stay in the hospital in Tacoma. She liked to come home. Some of her children were small yet, Freddie and Virginia. They were a little too young yet to stay around the house. We were nobody in there. And while I'm out working, you know, nobody to take care of. Them days we have no babysitters. If we got babysitters to hire, I would have hired a lot of time. So to ease the work around for so my wife don't have much work to do. So after she went outside and two times went outside to see doctors out there, can't do nothing to her. Just waiting for death during war. Even that don't stop me from work because I got children to feed. And then when my wife died, I got sick. I went to Sitka. Short hospital where Army Hospital used to be in there. They pumped one side of my lungs, take that fluid out. I had pleurisy, water in my lung, one side, left lung. And my lung collapsed. After 4 years, my lung started to pump again. I breathe with it. Now I live today because I was fixed up, just like gas engine. I fixed gas engine quit. I fix it, and doctor he fixed me just like fixing gas engine.
James, would you tell me how you arrived at Anaktuvuk Pass?
I get that Anaktuvuk Pass. I come up here to prospect up here, you know. There's a coach down here my father-in-law found years ago. I want to look around, see if I can find it at once. We didn't find it. Too rugged. And another thing, it's too foggy and too rainy. It was in August. If a man want to hunt for that coach, go down there around June. It better time. And then that's how I know this place, Anaknuvuk Pass. And they organize a village. They want to have a little village in here because Caribou around, Caribou Pass. So I agree, Pat O'Connell was prospector around John River. He put up the little trading post here in right here, and he supplied them little flour and sugar and things like that they need for these natives in the, around here. So while I'm up here, I decided I'll have a little cabin built, and where this is where it is, where I am now. When I retire, I figure I'll come up here. When I retire, I keep coming until I come here, stay all together. And then I married again, Sarah Huku. And we enjoyed here. She adopted son from her sister. 1958, this little cabin was built, and the little church built up here on top of the knoll. Same time, this little cabin was built. Pat O'Connell cut the logs, and the Eskimos hauled it up with a dog team from Hans Fork. We down below Hans Fork. There's a long haul with a dog team. Pretty hard pull. It's all uphill. All the way a little uphill. No rest. Still we got a little, some kind of a little shack to go in. We feel kind of contented. But I got sick, and now my heart weaker. I had a heart attack, and I break my leg, and at Nome, slip off of the truck, ice, no rails on the truck. I got no business to ride on that one. I admit that. I don't want to do it again. You know bad luck's come. When you run around too much. I run around too much. I get to every little corners of things. I don't miss much when I got nothing to do. That's the reason I got hurt. I didn't know that drunken driver. See? I don't even report that drunken driver. Because my life is not only one. Another thing, my life is not my own. That's somebody else's purpose. What we think when we come to be a bad boy. We exist. We just come and live that way. Whatever come, we don't care what come. We're here to stand for it. Whatever it is. So we built this little house. Never completed. We tried to repair somehow. Pretty rugged way to repair without being here myself and supervise it to build it. But somehow or another we can stay in it anyway. 1958. And I come up here when I retire, to stay here when I retire. Eskimos around here hunt caribou, feed me. I try to buy them. They won't sell it to me. Some sell it, of course. I bought one caribou the other day, skin and all, for mask. My wife learned how to make mask now. She never attempt to learn the mask, to make mask. Now she had to, because our little money coming in from retired money, not enough. So Sarah is working hard, try to get a little more money so we can buy fuel oil to keep our roof going this winter.